Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. What's up, Sarah?
Hey, Megan. It's Sarah Powers and her dog. I feel that
I was
going to
say
that.
Are you alone right now? Because our whole episode is about being alone today. This is one of our More Than Mom episodes that come out a couple Sundays a month. They're a little bit different from our Tuesday episodes. And we just like to tackle some fun and fluffy topics. And what could sound more fun and more fluffy and maybe a little, you know, more unbelievable to a mom than the idea of being alone.
Really, like really, truly alone. And that is so funny because I mentioned my dog, which I always have my dog around me while we record. But today feels like you might just hear slight doggy jangling noises.
All I ever hear from her is jangling, really.
Yeah. And I'm...
Sorry.
Oh,
him
that's
dog.
Okay. He don't mind.
In my world, all animals are girls.
Oh, that's interesting. I feel like cats are girls and dogs are boys. I've had girl and boy dogs, actually, but I was gone from the house all morning. So now I'm home to record with you. And he's like, hey, remember me?
Hey, what's up? Yeah. Hey, I'm going to jangle and jingle. Well, so even when you're alone, you're not truly alone. Is that what you're getting at?
Isn't that the truth? I mean, isn't that...
No, I just had to kick my cat out because she was being so needy. I usually record with my cat, like snuggled up next to me. But if she's in a needy frame of mind and I've been gone all day too, she will be... like so aggressive about snuggling with me that I can't record. Like she'll knock my computer off my lap. It's really bad.
She would like to be a guest, a feline guest on the Mom Hour.
Yeah, she would. So, well, I guess we can just take a quick break and then get back into it because I have a lot of questions for you, Sarah.
All about being
aloneness.
Alone.
All about being alone.
All right, we'll be right back. Megan, we have a new sponsor called Force of Nature, and I can't wait to talk about it. If you guys are into cleaning products and saving money and DIY stuff, this thing is so cool.
Yeah, you know that I love making my own cleaning products and I love natural cleaning products, but I really like making natural cleaning products that work. So I was really excited when Force of Nature reached out. So it's a little appliance that uses electricity to convert tap water and a mixture of salt water and vinegar into a multi-purpose cleaner and disinfectant that's as effective as bleach, but gentle enough to use even on baby toys without rinsing afterward.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, I don't love having a ton of appliances out on the counter all the time. But when we say it's a little appliance, we're talking a little itty bitty thing that plugs in. It basically creates this magic potion in around 5 to 10 minutes. And then you can stash it away for a couple of weeks until you need more of the cleaning solution. The solution itself is in a regular spray bottle that they send you. And you can use it in your bathroom, kitchen, on glass, basically anywhere you're currently using cleaners. It's powerful enough to kill 99.9% of bacteria and viruses, but with zero toxic chemicals or fumes. I've been using it all over my house, actually, and the kids really loved the process of making it, too.
Yeah, so we've got a great deal for you. 40% off and free shipping on starter kits, and those contain the appliance, a spray bottle, and that special solution that you're going to use to make your own non-toxic cleaners at home. So you're going to go to forceofnatureclean.com/themomhour. And use the code THEMOMHOUR to get 40% off a starter kit with free shipping. Again, that's forceofnatureclean.com/themomhour and use the code THEMOMHOUR.
Megan, I have to say I have a little bit of a shopping addiction with our affiliate partner, Jane.com. Why? Why is this app so fun to browse?
I don't know, but when you said that, I just had to like reach for my phone because I haven't looked at Jane today yet.
So you guys know I'm a sucker for good deals, but I also care about quality. So I want to vouch for a few of my recent Jane purchases. Jane is a daily deal site. So some of these deals I'm going to mention have expired, but the really cool thing is these deals do come up again. So I'll link them up in the show notes and you can head over and favorite them and you'll be notified when they come up again. So I got these wide leg jeans for less than $30 recently, and I love them. They're so cute. I also have these shoes. They're called the London Flats, also less than $30. And they are a perfect little, almost like half booty like shoe for early fall. I might actually get them in another color.
Yeah. I have to say with Jane, I often go back and like check in later and get the thing I loved in a different color. Mm-hmm,
totally.
It's so great. And yes, your jeans and shoes are so cute. Jane also has really cute seasonal stuff. So if you're excited for the transition to fall, go check out their deals on home decor. We've talked about how much I love swapping out throw pillows during the change of season, and they have these really cool leather and block print pillow covers that would look great on my gray sofa.
Oh yeah, I saw those. I had my eye on those too. Okay, well, you guys can shop our link at jane.com/themomhour, and that helps support the podcast when you make a purchase. Again, head to jane.com/themomhour to start shopping for great daily deals from Jane.
Okay, so I want to set this up in case someone just happens to be listening to us for the first time. Sarah, how many years have you been a mom?
11.
11. And during those 11 years, you have never really had a time when, until now, when you didn't have like a baby or a toddler. It's not like you had one kid and then a big long,
right?
You know,
yeah. My kids are 2 and 2.5 years apart. So just surrounded by little kids. And then, last year was the first year of full-time school for everybody.
Yep. And I've been a mom for almost 22 years. And until my daughter, Clara, went off to kindergarten, now 5 years ago, I also had always had a little one in the house. So even with, you know, even now that they're in school, sometimes having that true aloneness is kind of elusive, right?
Right.
So my first question for you is, when is the last time you were really, and I mean truly, alone?
Okay. Well, do you mean no people anywhere around? Or
I mean, like you spent a significant amount of time by yourself.
Okay. So that was 2 weeks ago. And that's one of the things that prompted us to do this episode because it felt so strange. I got to accompany my husband on a business trip to Maui. Please don't hate me. It was kind of a fluke. I got to go, the school year started, got the kids back to school, and then we got to go to Hawaii for four or five days. But because it was a work trip for my husband, I was by myself for the better part of 3 working days, but like long, like 8 to 6, 2 or 3 days in a row. And I think the reason it felt so alone is because I was in a hotel with no obligations. It would have felt very different than like if I was home for those long days, because I still saw my husband in the evening and there were other patrons of the hotel, but it felt very, very different because I had no worldly obligations in addition to no one around me that I knew. So I think it was that combination of not having any real life responsibility and hours by myself for 3 days in a row.
Well, funny enough, that was the same week that I was last truly alone in the same kind of way. I was on my vacation up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, camping and hiking and staying in cabins and cottages and things like that. And I remember actually writing in my journal something like, for the next 7 days, I don't have to include anybody in my plans, check in with anybody, attend to anybody, do any housework. Like I literally, not just the aloneness, but the zero expectations on me was bizarre. And even though I have spent time alone since, you know, since having kids, and especially since my youngest has been in school, there's always like somebody around that I could talk to, or someone who needs something from me, or someone I have to check in with, or something I could be doing. Like there's always some expectation. And you and I were both having this weirdly expectation-free trip right at the same time, which I think is so funny.
It was total just coincidence that it happened the same time. And we were in different locations, but there were a lot of similarities. I don't know if you felt this way, but for me, I think it was the number of consecutive hours that was the biggest difference from anything else I've had. Because, you know, of course, like my kids are in school. I've got 5 or 6 hours a day, no kids, but it's amazing how, when you fill those time with a little bit of exercise, a little bit of work, a little bit of house stuff, there's never one stretch that's more than like an hour and a half of anything. And those of you with little kids at home, your stretches are like 4 minutes and then it's the next thing. So I think for me, it wasn't the Hawaii or like the beautiful island. It was the 10 hours at a stretch and things like that, where it was like, well, really, I could break up this day any way I want. I don't know if you felt that way.
I did. And I think for me, same thing. I wasn't really at any point sitting in one place that long. I was moving around a lot. I was hiking a lot and stuff like that. But it was definitely this feeling of like, I could just disappear. And I did have friends I was checking in with. I was checking in with Jen and Missy and like, hey, I'm going hiking in this spot. If you don't hear from me by 7, call the park rangers, right? Yeah. But really, truly, I could have just gone someplace else. Like I didn't have to do any of the things I said.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the last day I went out, or the last night of my trip, I camped on an island. I stayed in a cabin, but I had to hike in all my stuff because there's no cars on this island. So my sleeping bag and my food and everything, I had to like hike it 4 miles to the cabin, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, you know, about halfway on my hike that I had forgotten to bring anything to charge my phone with. So I had like a charger thing, like a battery thing that I had left in my suitcase at the last minute while trying to decide what was going to make it into my backpack and what wasn't. Like, it was pretty intense because I was like, well, I need food. So that has to go in, but I don't have room for this sweatshirt. It literally was down to that. And the ferry, like, people are getting on the ferry and I'm making last minute decisions about what goes and what stays. And I kept my fleece pants, but I ditched the charger and then I was going to grab a different one that was smaller and I just forgot. So I was like, okay. So that whole trip, at the very least, I would usually not have any cell service on my hikes, but at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, I always had some kind of phone service.
Right.
And I realized, like, I'm going to have to make some decisions. I'm either going to have to, if I want to check in with anybody while I'm on this island alone, where I only saw like 8 other human beings the entire time, I'm probably going to have to shut my phone off for most of the trip, or I'm going to, you know, like, or put on airplane mode, or I'm going to lose all my battery. So I really didn't have, I checked in with you a little bit early and then I wrote some stuff for Instagram that night, but otherwise my phone was off and I'm like on an island with my phone off and no humans.
Now that is really alone.
It was so bizarre. So bizarre. So I know for you, you sent me a message like a few days into your trip and you were like, I'm done. Like, I'm ready to be done now. What did you get? Homesick? Did you just get lonely? Like, what happened?
So I think first of all, I loved it because I love being alone. I think I was not as busy as you. Well, if we're just contrasting our two trips, you had objectives like a hike to go on or like a campsite your destination was. I was in a very nice resort. I was working, which to me, like for any work at home, work from home, like entrepreneurial mom, we dream of 10 hours of uninterrupted work time with good Wi-Fi and air conditioning. And like, I had it. I got it. Yeah. And I think what I meant when I said I'm done is like the lack of structure, even for my creative and work side, it was a lot to put on me to come up with that structure. So it was fun. You and I were talking quite a bit and I kind of used the middle of my day to do something that felt indulgent. One day I got a massage. One day I went swimming in the ocean. One day I took a nap. And so that felt like breaking it up. But I think what I meant was like, I can be by myself for quite a lot of time, but I would have needed more to do. And that could have been work. It could have been a creative project, but it's hard when you're the one coming up with that structure. And so I think my limit is like 2 full long days with no structure was fine. A third would have been like, I just would have wanted, it's not so much human contact. It's like an objective, like, you know,
something to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's funny about that, I was thinking about the moms who are listening right now and thinking, oh my goodness, I would like give my right arm to be alone. And oh my gosh, I would be so productive. And do you remember when Clara went to kindergarten?
Yes.
And like the month before she went, because she didn't do preschool. So she was with me all the time. I would trade off babysitting with friends and stuff like that. But like I never really had a regimented routine time where Clara was away from me.
She was your sidekick.
She was my sidekick. And I remember saying like, oh my goodness, I have been working from home for so many years with like truly buried in children, like kids crawling on me, nursing, kicking my keyboard, using their toes to pry off the keys. Like my computers have been beat up. My schedule was, you know, crazy. And then she went to kindergarten and I fell into this weird, it was inertia.
Yeah.
I couldn't, because without someone else, like the structure imposed on you by someone else's needs, I just didn't know what to do with myself, because I would be sitting there looking at a 6 to 7 hour day and going, well, what, when you can do anything, sometimes it's hard to get doing anything, you know, and without someone else needing me or putting parameters around what I could do or what I had to do, I had a really hard time that whole year. I feel like I took a nap. Actually, I did. I napped a lot that year.
You deserved it. You deserved like a gap year, you know, like with teenagers, it was like your motherhood gap year. Like, I'll get down to business next year.
Yeah. So it sounds like you do like to be alone.
I do.
So prior to kids, did you spend a lot of time alone either on purpose or just because life worked out that way?
I would say I did. I'm I'm always very comfortable alone, and I do need a certain amount of alone time. Prior to kids, in the few years of married life, I think we probably just had some alone time built in. I traveled quite a bit for work in those days, and I worked full time. And but when I really remember spending quite a bit of time alone is like college, and even before that, high school. I have always liked it, and so it makes sense that I would miss it in motherhood.
So what's funny about that is I've always been somebody who, when I really thought back to before kids, which is hard because it's a long time ago, but I did spend a lot of time alone. I would be the kind of person who would come home and like hole up in my bedroom and journal and write about the boys who I liked and listen to music and, you know, play with makeup. And even as a little kid, I remember being alone a lot. My siblings were all older. A lot of them had moved out of the house by the time I can even remember. So I just remember being solitude, reading a lot, writing a lot, stuff like that. But what I'd never have been good at is doing stuff alone. That's the harder part.
I see the difference. Yeah.
There's a big difference. So like being home by myself is fine. It's like my little haven. And even though I'm an extrovert, I'm an ENFP, and I guess those are the kinds of like ambiverts.
Okay.
So an ENFP really does need more time to themselves. And I can tell when I don't get it, I get weird. But what I'm really have been bad at, and since being single again, I've had to get better at, is making like not tying having everything I do to the fact that someone else is or isn't there. I still am not great at going to movies by myself. I feel real weird about it.
Okay.
I am good at like going out to eat by myself, but only if I sit at the bar, because then I can at least pretend like I'm there to talk to somebody.
Okay.
So I feel weird.
So you don't like to sit at a table by yourself?
Usually not. I feel like I'd rather just get takeout and go home. Like I just feel like it's a weird combination of both being out of my own personal element while also not even having the opportunity to feel like I'm part of anything. Cause you know, when you sit at a restaurant at a table, like the whole experience is set up around that table being like a little sphere that you're in, your bubble. I don't like being in a bubble alone in the middle of other people talking. I'd rather be part of the action in some way.
I love being alone in a bubble with people around me talking. It's like, funny. I really enjoy it actually. So like, you know, working at a coffee shop, I have no problem eating dinner alone at a restaurant, even at a table. That doesn't bother me. There are things that I don't know if we're going to get into. Like, I do sometimes have problems being alone at night, or if I feel at all unsafe in my surroundings. I mean, I think everybody would be that way. But so there's certain things I wouldn't want to do alone. Anything that feels like I would be intimidated by what you did alone, that feels like physically adventurous or a little bit dangerous, that I would seek that out less than I would. Easily, I could go to a movie alone or have dinner in a restaurant alone. And I actually like the comfort of kind of society around me with no expectation to interact with anyone. I kind of like that.
So I really like going to coffee shops and working alone. So that to me is almost like a different experience, because then I'm doing the thing I'm part of something. I'm part of what's happening in my computer.
And it's socially, it's just more socially acceptable maybe than dining alone.
Yeah. And I do have an opportunity now to dine alone an awful lot. So like, I think I just find myself making choices where I don't, it's not like I never do. I certainly sometimes do go sit at a table somewhere, but I just don't seek that out as an experience if I have any other options. I'm curious, and I do want to get into like being afraid, being alone at night, stuff like that. But what about something like going to a doctor's appointment? Is that something you prefer to do alone, or do you like to have moral support?
I think I tend alone for things like that. I often don't seek out company, and this has gotten me in trouble emotionally in the past when I realized like I really would have benefited from connection and people, and I almost don't realize it till later. So I'm a very much like a bootstrapping individualist. Like I can do this myself, and that plays out in every area of my life, and it can be a good quality, but I often don't ask for like what you're talking about, like company or moral support. And it really came out like when I was postpartum, I realized I was lonelier than I realized, but it never occurred to me to just ask someone to come hang out with me or help me take the baby to the doctor. Or it just never occurred to me, because I usually am comfortable alone, but I think I probably to an extreme do not seek out that kind of, I don't know what you would call it, just company or moral support. Yeah.
I think for me, it's always been, I think I've been pretty good at balancing that depending on like the stakes, I guess. So if it was like a checkup, I'd rather just do it by myself and not have the, I don't know, the additional work of including another human. But anytime I've had something that's been more serious or a little scary, I've always been pretty good about asking someone else to come along.
I don't even tell anyone. I'm like secretive about it. Yeah, I have issues.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And you have anxiety around medical stuff.
I know, maybe, but then I don't tell anyone.
Well, then maybe you're a little superstitious, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe you feel like if you brought someone in on it, it would jinx it almost.
But I have gotten better about this, and I have learned, at least with the secrecy, that it's way better if I'm like, oh, by the way, I think I'm dying, but I'm probably not. So I'm going to go get it checked out.
And if you could just tell me that I'm not dying, please, that would be super helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's dive into this, like, being alone at night thing. Like, what does it feel like to you when Brian's traveling?
So it's funny. I was just talking on Voxer to one of my closest personal friends about this. And her husband does travel, and she has really significant nighttime like anxiety when her husband's gone. And mine is not to that level because I really actually enjoy it until the middle of the night. So what would usually happen, and he doesn't travel very much. So to me, I look at it like, okay, put the kids to bed early. Pour a glass of wine. I always watch like a weird TV show from my bed. So I just like mix up my evening routine a little bit and read. And then the problem is then I fall asleep easily because that's not a problem. And then inevitably something wakes me up in the middle of the night, a kid or a dog or something. And that is hard. I still have a hard time. You know, I just start thinking that someone's about to break into my house or my mind starts going and then I look at the clock and I do that whole thing. So I would say it's like moderate. Like I can usually talk myself out of it and go back to sleep, but I don't love it. And I'm very curious about you because you became single 2.5 years ago. So that would be a big adjustment.
It was a big adjustment. It's interesting. It doesn't bother me at all now to sleep by myself. And many times I'm the only person in the house. Not always. I have an adult son who lives here. So there's typically someone else kicking around, but like there's been nights he's off doing something else and I'm here alone. And, you know, it doesn't really bother me. I don't know if it, I think at first I had so much other anxiety that was wrapped up, not in like I'm alone in this house and someone might break in. Like I had legit like real life anxiety, which is not to say that like someone breaking in, because there's been times in my life where I've had that kind of anxiety too. Like 10 years ago when I was married and my husband traveled all the time, I would often have like middle of the night anxiety.
Yeah.
Part of that, I think, was that then when I was alone, I was alone in a house with a whole bunch of little kids.
Yeah.
And that feels a lot more fraught.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, if I'm alone, I'm either here with a bunch of hulking man children or I'm truly the only person in the house.
Yeah.
And that feels like my house is comfortable. It's my space. It doesn't bother me. So I'm kind of over that. Like whatever fear I had of being alone, I'm over that. Now, when I was on my trip, I was anxious almost every night at some point.
Yeah.
I was also exhausted because I think
like in the woods with bears. That's I wouldn't be a little anxious.
Right. And I think that was good for me, like because I didn't, you know, get eaten by a bear or anything like that. And so that's good. I kind of overcame that. But I think that, I'll just tell you about the nights that I was there because I think this is so funny. So one of the nights I was tent camping. Well, first of all, I hiked about a total of about 32 miles that week.
Wow.
So every night I went to bed like done, like exhausted, ready to just hit it. So as soon as I could kind of deep breathe myself past any anxiety, I was out like a light. But one night I stayed in this. So the first night I tent camped, that was fine. The second night I wound up in a hotel because it was just like torrentially raining and I knew I was not going to be able to get warm or dry. So I stayed in a hotel. That was the best night because I just, like a hotel is so familiar. Like we were talking about the other day, Sarah, like a hotel always has the same components. It has a bed. It has a door with a bolt. It has a bathroom and you kind of know where it is. Even if you wake up disoriented, you know where the TV is. Like it's always the same. So to me, it was like, I zonked.
I also have no safety security concerns in hotels, hardly ever. I mean, I tend to stay in fairly like safe, nice hotels, but the likelihood of something scary happening in the middle of the night is probably equal or even greater at a hotel, but I never worry about that in hotels for some reason.
I think it's just comfort. Like you know what to expect.
And it's like someone else is in charge of security. And so even if there's, you know, some weirdo walking in the lobby, it's like in my mind, it's taken care of. It's less vulnerable than being alone in my house.
Well, and you know that someplace in that hotel, someone is awake.
Yeah.
Even if they're inept.
Yeah.
They're awake and they're doing that thing. Like whatever that thing, and they're sitting at the front desk.
Yeah.
They're wandering around with clean towels, who knows what. But there's activity going on even after you go to sleep.
Yeah.
So to me, the whole idea, like a hotel to me is like best case scenario. It's a bustling thing that I just am like a guest.
And you have a deadbolt on your door and you're good.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm good. I have had weird like anxieties before about hotel fires and things, but typically only if I'm staying in a super, super high rise and I'm way high up, and I get over that pretty quick. Yeah. But I have had a few moments like that. So then the second and third night I was in a cabin. And well, it was actually like a cottage. And that was a little spooky.
Okay.
Because it was in this like kind of weird small town on the shores of Lake Superior. The weather was bad the whole time. And so I could hear the lake. Mm-hmm. So it was really close. And I could also like hear rain and like the wind on the lake. And it was this house that looked like somebody decorated it in 1968 and then didn't ever update it. Like I sent you the pictures of it with the grand. Yes. It smelled like a grandpa's house.
Yeah.
It looked like a grandpa's house. And my bedroom was up these stairs, but it was like a loft. So there was no door really. So I could see the stairs and the bathroom was downstairs. And one time I did have to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And I was not happy about that.
Yeah.
Then I stayed in Airbnb and that was the weirdest thing. I booked it at the last minute because I was another night I was going to tent camp, except there was torrential rain and I was like, nap. So not like I'm not that big of a wimp, but alone, I just didn't want to bother with that. So, I ended up at this Airbnb and nobody was there. I don't think it was in someone's house and I'm pretty sure I was the only human being.
And
in
you
the
had
entire
rented
house.
A room, but.
A
ostensibly,
room.
There were other rooms for rent.
There were four other rooms. Okay. So I get to the top of the stairs. All the bedroom doors are open and mine is shut and locked. So, or shut. Sorry, the key was inside the room. So I go in and I'm like, okay, so this is my room. And I'm walking around. There's no one else. All the rooms are made up, prepared. They look like someone's coming, but no one ever came.
Like a haunted
mansion.
But the
proprietors lived on the first floor. You could tell where their quarters were. There was like private space, stay out, whatever. But I don't think they were there. And I never saw them. I didn't hear them the entire time I was there. And that was weird because I'm just in someone's house.
Well, and it's also weird because I'm thinking about this concept of being alone. It would be very strange to not be sure whether you are alone or not. Part of what's satisfying about being alone is the clarity, the clear expectations around what is my space and what's the expectation. So that would actually be the worst case scenario is if you weren't sure if you were alone.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. And so then the last night was the night that I was in the cabin on the island. And that was the day. And I will say at that Airbnb, I had some serious homesickness. Like that was when I'm like in a bedroom. I'm in what looks like a child's bedroom. And I'm alone. And Clara sent me a FaceTime or a message. And she had FaceTimed me earlier. And I was just like, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah.
But I had one more day. And the next day was the island. And it was awesome. And I actually had very little fear on the island. I did walk with a big stick. In case a bear tried to get me. And I made sure to go to the bathroom like seven times before I went to bed because the outhouse was down quite an extensive path from the cabin. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no way am I doing that in the middle of the night on an island in northern Michigan. Like, I just don't want to. So, and there was no one nearby. Like, I think the closest campsite was probably about a half mile away.
Do you, I know we're like veering off of we're on a windy path that involves a lot about hiking and anxiety, but I do have a question. Like, do you, when you hike or walk around where you live, and I know both of us have done walking and hiking, is there alone concerns that don't have to do with bears, but that have to do with possible human attackers?
I mean, I think there always are, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, every area is different and there's different kind of norms. Sadly around here, I don't think women let me say that differently. There's certain times of day, like I'm an early morning person. I don't think it would be advisable to go on an early morning walk or jog on the trails unless you were meeting up with someone. You just don't know. There's other times of day where it's so well traveled that it's probably not a big deal, but I just was curious because that's like a whole other thing that like, I don't even have a particularly high level of anxiety about that scenario. So I almost forget that like, oh yeah, as a woman, I shouldn't really go on that hike by myself. It would be more about like bears are breaking my ankle. And then it's like, oh, and that.
Yeah. I definitely like, there are definitely parks I have gone to where I've been, I've gotten there and there's one other car.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, nah, that's okay. I'll go someplace else. But typically the places that I go hike around here are well enough traveled. Like I will usually see like three or four other people, a lot of times women, a lot of times women by themselves walking. And so I feel pretty safe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's all relative,
it's
right?
It's all relative. Like, and it's all safe. Like I go by myself through this park on a path. It's like the hiking trails that I'm like, well, no, I just have to do that with a friend.
Yeah. And there's probably three hiking trails, like really, truly like, you know, a park system that's like a nature preserve type of thing where you are hiking 4 miles and you might not see another person. And I do every now and then. I wouldn't, you know, it's probably not 100% safe. Yeah. But then I think when we hear the stories, those are the outliers typically as well. Yeah. So, and then my normal walking path is almost all residential.
Yeah.
Like there's hardly any times where I'm alone or not within full sight of an entire neighborhood of people.
Right.
Or a whole beach, you know? So, yeah. So, oh gosh, we covered a lot of ground.
We did. We should probably take a break.
Let's take a break and we'll get back to it. So, Sarah, this time of year, everything is so crazy busy. I feel like I could use a little pampering treat just for me. So I was so excited when my fall FabFitFun box showed up.
Oh my gosh, me too.
So as you've heard us talk about before, FabFitFun is a box full of premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and wellness products. It's delivered seasonally right to your door, and the box retails for just under $50, but always contains at least $200 worth of product. And we're talking great high-end brands I might not otherwise know about here. Also, the bath and beauty products are always full-sized, not trial sizes, so you really get a chance to put these products to work and see what you love. There's also a great mix of other products like clothing, decor, and household stuff. For example, my 2019 fall box had a yummy-smelling body cream and Aveda hair repair cream, but also a cheese board and an Anthropologie travel yoga mat that is definitely going to be making its way into my suitcase next time I go on a trip.
I totally thought of you with the yoga mat. And some of our listeners might have seen me unbox the fall stuff a couple of weeks ago. So much great stuff. One cool thing is once you sign up for FabFitFun, you can customize certain items in your box or add on others at a really great deal. So it feels like a surprise, kind of, but also one that you have a little control over, which we all know I need in my life.
So getting your FabFitFun box is such a fun little gift to yourself 4 times a year, and these boxes sell out fast, so sign up for yours today. We've got a great offer for you. Use the code THEMOMHOUR to get $10 off your first box at FabFitFun.com. Again, use that code THEMOMHOUR, and you're going to get $10 off your first box at FabFitFun.com.
We are welcoming back as a sponsor today the University of California, Irvine's Division of Continuing Education. I know that's a mouthful, but here in Orange County, we would just call that UCI. And we know around here what a great school it is. What I didn't know is that their CE division offers so many choices for adults who want to advance their careers and develop new skills on a flexible schedule.
Yeah, Sarah, you know that I've been helping my son Jacob sign up for college classes, and I was reminded how exciting it is to look at a course catalog and then just feel like you could learn anything. Like, I was thinking maybe I should sign up for UCI's online course and developing interactive e-learning courses this fall.
Ooh, let's develop an e-learning course. You go learn how to do that. Maybe we'll do one for our listeners.
That would be awesome.
So the cool thing is you could do that from your home in Michigan, Megan, because a ton of UCI's CE classes are done online with a cool format that combines the best parts of a classroom experience with the convenience of learning remotely. Between the online and on-campus offering, they've got more than 60 courses and certifications in everything from business, education and healthcare, digital marketing, paralegal, human resources, and more. College has changed so much since I was enrolled, and I just love thinking about our listeners out there earning credits while they're also momming and working and adulting all at the same time. It's so great. So if you are ready, guys, you can get started this fall. Registration's open now. You're going to visit ce.uci.edu/momhour and enter the mom hour for 15% off one course. Again, it's ce.uci.edu/momhour. Enter the mom hour and you'll save 15% off one course, but this offer is only valid until December 31st. 21st, 2019 at 11:59 p.m. So get on it.
Okay. So Sarah, we touched on, you know, sleeping alone while on a trip, and we touched on doing things like, I don't know, doctor's appointments and staying in hotels or going out to a restaurant by yourself. But I'm curious if you ever intentionally do things alone, like how do you feel about shopping alone or traveling or flying alone or like even going out for a night on your own? Like, would you ever just be like, I don't have anybody to do anything with tonight, so I'm just going to go out.
No,
all by
I would
myself.
I would stay in if I didn't have anything.
Well,
to
you don't even want to go out anyway.
No, I would definitely need people to convince me to go out.
Yeah.
I think where it comes, I have no problem doing most of those things that you suggested alone. And if there's any kind of an agenda involved, like shopping, you brought up, I almost prefer to be alone because actually shopping with another person is really hard because you have to decide, is this a social shopping?
Right.
Are we like doing this for fun to chat and browse or do it? Cause when I need to shop, like if I'm shopping for a dress for something or a pair of shoes, or I've got a list, I don't make a very good shopping buddy. So if there's anything like that needs to be done, I really honestly prefer to be alone because I can manage my own time and my list. And I've like got my idea of how I want to do things. So it doesn't bother me at all to go off and say, I'm going to go, you know, knock out all the Christmas shopping by myself. That's totally something I would do. In terms of fun seeking, which I feel like that was kind of the second part of your question. That would be harder. I think I need people around me. I'm probably not likely to go like hear a band or like go see, I don't know. I used to go see shows by myself, like Broadway shows and musicals and stuff when I traveled. That didn't bother me, but it was.
You like going to the movies alone?
I'm fine going to the movies alone. Yeah.
I don't enjoy it that much.
I think nighttime, you know what the difference here is does Sarah have to leave the house at night or is this during the day? It has nothing to do with the activity. I'm much more likely to go do something by myself during the day than at night. It's not a fear thing. It's just like, I feel
you'd
like
rather be in
if
bed
I'm by
at
myself
night.
At night, I'm staying in for sure.
So what's funny about that is I could count on, you know, one hand, the number of times I've been to the movies alone in the last year or two. And I spend a lot of time alone. So that's pretty significant, but they're almost always matinees. And to me, it feels like less of a waste to go to a movie alone in the middle of the day than it would at night when maybe, I don't know, I always have this feeling like something else better might be happening than a movie. So like, especially a movie by myself.
Yeah.
But something like going out to hear a band, I wish I was better at that. Like I think to myself, you know, gosh, why do I always wait to see if someone else wants to do this thing with me? And I don't always, I'm getting better at it, but I'm not like, I think I could be a little more independent about those things. So how do you feel about traveling and flying on your own?
I'm good. I like it. I'm fine. I'm really experienced at it. I spent my whole junior year of college abroad and traveled a whole lot by myself. And that was kind of a perfect age. I was 20 and 21 that year. And so I was just grown up enough that I wasn't intimidated by, those were the days of like, yes, internet in your dorm room, but no internet in your pocket. So like, you know, I was really comfortable navigating solo travel, train tickets and hostels and airplane reservations. And so I think that broke me in of any of the, I think some people struggle with the logistics of it. Like what if I miss my flight? What if I don't know? And I've always been really comfortable with that part of it. So I don't mind air travel solo. I generally really like it. But I, you know, if I have a companion, that's good too. It's not one where I prefer one or the other, but I'm definitely comfortable. And if I have a long flight by myself, I will look forward to that. But again, we're in this motherhood stage where like 5 hours by yourself is not something that comes easily. So how about you?
I love to fly alone. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love to go to a city that I've never been to alone. Mm-hmm. Now, I also really like to do that with another person.
Yeah.
Like I like really like flying with you and I really like being in a new city with you. But something, first of all, I love airports.
Uh-huh, I do too.
I love being in an airport. And to me, there's something so fun and so free feeling about just dropping my bag with the baggage claim people and then, or check people, and then just walking away with my ticket and my backpack, you know, whatever I'm, you know, carrying on. And then it's just me and this like little fake world where I just can do whatever I want. It's this very, and nothing feels real. Like the time that you spend in an airport feels like fake time.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can really use it doing silly things like, you know, like shopping in a luggage store.
And don't you love it when there's like spontaneous, really good shopping? Like,
yes.
It's like, wait, I didn't even know I was going to get to go shopping today. And like, here I am.
Yes. Okay. So now let's go back in time.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about what you said about shopping alone. And I also prefer to shop alone. In fact, I can't really remember the last time I purposely brought another person along with me on a shopping trip, you know, like for the fun of it.
I literally like fail at it. In fact, my mom and I tried to go shop. My mom really likes to shop and she's a good shopper. And we tried to go shopping together like 6 months ago. And we literally just like cut bait and went to lunch. Cause I was like, wait, are we shopping? It was before.
Maybe what are we doing?
Before mom too. I was looking for a couple dresses and it was because I had things in mind and I was like, I can't multitask. I either want to hang out with my mom and chit chat or I need to be by myself. And she was great about it. Like I was like, let's just go to lunch. I'm not paying attention to the dresses.
I mean, I've had a couple of times when I've been with a companion of some sort and I've gone to like a store because I wanted their opinion on the thing I was going to try on or whatever. But like that just browsing kind of
shopping.
Yeah,
it's really hard for me.
I never do that with people anymore. However, thinking back to before having kids and even when my kids were really little and I would get an opportunity to go out without them sometimes, which didn't happen very often, I did socially shop with friends just for fun. So I'm curious if you felt that way prior to kids. Is there something about kids having been a mom for so long that made you more pragmatic about the time you spend shopping?
I'm sure that there is, because the way, if we're talking about like clothes and purses and shoes, especially the way that we get that kind of stuff now, it's got to fit. It's got to fit the budget. It's got to it's got to check a box. Whereas like when I was 16 and just going to the mall and walking around with my friends, the world was like, there was no, it was just whatever was on sale. What did I have in my wallet? Did I like this thing? You could try on makeup. You could try on shoes. Yep. I mean, sometimes we'd go shopping for like a dress for a dance or something. And I remember things like that. But the idea of browsing, just browsing stores with friends definitely felt different before kids.
I think also we just had more time.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, even if I had a whole week alone, I still like my mom sense has created this feeling around time that it is a luxury. It is finite. It is at a premium. And so like shopping with my friends, it's too much multitasking, like you were saying. And I don't feel like I have the time to waste anymore.
Plus, how efficient you could be on Amazon. You could I could go do this in 30 minutes on my computer.
Exactly. So I just think something like that, you know, something like shopping, I have a very different feeling about it now that I've had a bunch of kids and I've been a mom for so long. So what about other stuff? Before you had kids, were you the same about being alone in all these different scenarios, or do you feel like you were different?
So I know as a child, when you started to describe this, I think I was very much the same. I spent a lot of time, I played by myself naturally really well, which I think fooled my mom into thinking that all kids were like that. I had like a little table in my room and I would go, the story, like the family lore about me is that there were these little cassette tapes that guided you along. Like it would be like a story and then it would say, now pause the tape and draw a picture of this, like these little for kids. Yeah. And my mom we all laugh at like, I would dutifully do exactly what it said. Like it would say, press pause. And I would press pause. And then I would sit there and like, draw the picture and then restart it. And I could be by myself that's how the story goes for an unusual amount of time as a child. So I come by this naturally. However, you were talking about being an extrovert who needs time alone. And I would say I'm an introvert who really enjoys people. So I was very social all through school. I don't ever remember like preferring alone time. I don't ever remember thinking like as a middle schooler or a high schooler, I don't ever remember thinking, gosh, I need time to myself or like, this is too much socializing or feeling like I needed it. But I was also still comfortable with alone time. I was comfortable, you know, just doing teenage life solo. If I was solo for longer periods of time, I remember enjoying staying home alone. Like if my mom had the siblings somewhere and I was the oldest, if I got to stay home alone for a few hours, it felt like in the same way that being in a hotel feels indulgent now, it felt like, oh, I've got the house to myself, the TV to myself.
Yeah.
So I think I'm mostly the same, but then having kids just raises the stakes so much and it puts a higher price or a higher value on that alone time. But I think I've always I can see the through line throughout. And then the last thing I'll say is that year in England that I talked about where I traveled, when I wasn't traveling, when I was actually living in England, I was by myself so much. And I was very, very homesick. It's one of the only times I've been truly lonely. But I don't think it was tied necessarily to being alone a lot because that wouldn't have bothered me. It was tied to being in a foreign land and the people I did have around me, I wasn't crazy about. I didn't have great friendships. I didn't love, there was just, it just, it wasn't enough.
And everything was unfamiliar.
Right. So I guess the lesson is that there is such a thing as too much alone or too much alone, too far from home. And that was the year of 2000, 2001 for Sarah.
Yeah. Well, and I also think like, there's things that you know, you're talking about, you didn't think to yourself, gosh, I need alone time. When I was a kid, I was fine being alone. But I always would have chose it had I had my druthers, mm-hmm. which you just told me what that means. I mean, we have used it, but I was like, I wonder what druthers actually means. You're like, I'd rather, right? Anyways, if I had my druthers about me back then, I probably would have always chosen to be out with friends or whatever. But remember what it felt like when you were like a teenager, how you knew that your life wasn't your own somehow. Like part of you resisted it, but you also accepted it because you knew it was just the way it was.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have the freedom to just do whatever you right. wanted. So you knew that there was just going to be a certain amount of time, especially after your curfew or whatever time your parents thought you should be in at night, that you would be in your bedroom alone. And so for me, I just accepted it. It wasn't so much that I loved it. It just was the way it was. And it didn't really bother me. And I think now, not only having had kids, but having been an adult for so long with my time being my own, I do sometimes have this feeling like, oh my goodness, it's 8 o'clock and I'm alone. Something better should be happening. Like I should be doing something with other people. Why am I not out? Why am I not in a social situation? And I almost had to retrain myself to prefer it sometimes and to recognize when I need it. And that was hard. Like it took me a while.
I think that's really wise. And what's funny is my internal voice, if it's 8 o'clock and I'm alone, is not, I should be out doing something, but how can I use this time as productively as possible? And that is what I have had to train my brain about. And when I was in Hawaii, that all that time by myself, I mean, I really had to say like, Sarah, you cannot work 3 10-hour days. Like there's no amount of podcast work that needs to be done but that's like, really, I'm like, oh my gosh, how can I most effectively use this alone time? And I have to train my brain to be like, or what could you do that would be resting and fun and fulfilling? And so, I don't know, I went swimming in the ocean and I told you, I was like, hold me accountable. I'm going swimming in the ocean.
I love it. You're like, make me do this. Right. And I said, I'm going to see wet hair when you're done.
And I did.
I had to make you go do something fun. That's actually
And I saw sea turtles.
You did. Okay, so let's talk about your kids.
Yeah.
How do they feel about being alone?
Man, I wonder if kids these days in general are different than we were because they are more scheduled or we're in their business more. So I will say that I have one child in the middle who was amazing and will always seek out alone time and was so good at playing by himself as a preschooler, toddler preschooler. And then my oldest was kind of okay and my youngest is terrible, but that's at independent play, which I think is like a kind of a different skill. I'm trying to think of like how they feel about actually being alone. I think Violet doesn't know how to do it yet and hopefully someday will. And Reed's very comfortable alone. And Allegra's, I think she's somewhere in the middle. If she's got a project going, she can love being alone. She also likes art like your Clara and she loves to read. But I think she probably tends more extrovert if she had to pick. She really like thrives off of relationships.
Yeah. Well, and neither of our kids really ever get the opportunity to be alone for long stretches of time.
Right.
Really, you know, not truly alone. So I would say that it's been different going by the different kids' personalities. Isaac really liked being alone. Owen, I think, likes being alone, but they have the luxury of getting to be alone when they want to without having to ever be alone, which I do think changes things.
It is different.
If you know that you can always walk out of your bedroom and find someone to hang out with, there's always someone around, it does shift, it switches up the script a bit. Clara is funny because she has definitely this circle of friends that she will bug me incessantly about hanging out with. And at times I don't feel like having her do stuff with a friend. But then also every now and then I'll say, hey, did you want to go over to the cousin's house tonight? And she'll say, you know, I'd rather just hang out and chill at home and read, or I'd rather just like get in my pajamas early. But then again, it's not so much about the aloneness because she's still not really alone.
Right.
She's just not really interacting with anybody.
It's more of like a social versus, I don't know, less social.
There's just people around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like one, I think in one case, she would be expected to play with somebody or keep up a conversation or whatever. And in the other, she can just be in the room and there could be other people around her, but she doesn't have to like, there's no expectations on her.
Right.
And so I think she switches back and forth between liking that and not. So I haven't really figured out if she's an introvert or an extrovert yet.
With your boys who enjoy being alone, Isaac and Owen, were there ever points where as a mom you saw it tip into where it was like, okay, even for me, this is too much. Like, did you ever see it go from like healthy alone recharging to like, this kid needs to get out and do something?
I think by nature of there just being so many of us around, no.
Yeah, because they just never had that much time.
They never had that much time. Yeah, they've, you know, and Isaac like took up the guitar and he would just disappear into his room and play for hours at a time. But that never felt unhealthy. Like that was his way of getting space. And, but at the end of the day, he still had to emerge and come have dinner with six other people. Yeah. Right. So like I think something that's one of the beauties of being in a big family. It's like, as long as you have the option to retreat, you almost can't overdo it because there's, And Owen will find weird ways of being alone yet around other people, like his cocooning that he does when he wraps himself in a blanket, like a burrito, and then will lay on the floor under the table. Like, why are you doing that? You have a bedroom you could go into and you could cocoon yourself in
there. I wonder if he just kind of like is comforted by the presence of people, but that he doesn't have to relate to or something.
Yeah. Or look at them or I don't know. I don't know.
It's like sometimes I very rarely do this, but every once in a while I will take a nap out in the family room. Like say it's football season, there's a game on, the kids are doing something, and I will fall asleep with a book. And I'm well aware that I'm not going to get as good a rest as I would upstairs in a quiet room, but there's something kind of comforting about checking out from the world, but the world is still going on around you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's,
agreed.
That's his deal.
Well, this has been fun.
It's really fun.
Yeah, I feel like now I can't decide. We're recording this on a Friday afternoon, and as soon as we're done, it's going to be like the beginning of the evening, and I can't decide if now if I want to go do something or if I just want to be alone.
Is the weather good?
No, it's kind of cruddy.
You know what I would choose, but you...
I was going to say, I know what you would choose. Yeah.
Well, and it's 3 hours earlier here, so my jealousy about your Friday is less about alone or social and more that you are at the end of it and I have, like, school pickup, piano lessons, a taekwondo, like, the whole... It's not... There is no rest for the weary for, like, 6 hours for me.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll be thinking of you alone.
Alone. Well, this is fun. We'll be back on Tuesday, everybody. Thanks, Megan.
Yeah.